Good morning. I don't have an opening statement, so I'll use this fire off, Brian.
Rick, with the news that came out of Arizona with Larry Fitzgerald restructuring.
Baylor wide receiver Antoine Goodley, table two. Baylor wide receiver Antoine Goodley, table two.
Yeah, it not necessarily provided any kind of impetus. I mean, our hope is that Andre is one of those rare guys that gets to spend his entire career in our organization. So he's obviously got a salary cap number that, you know, you got to look at in the context of, you know, putting our whole roster together, our whole team together. We'll look at his deal, but his is not the only deal. I mean, there are several deals on our books that we need to look at to make sure that we are, you know, positioning ourselves to be as creative and aggressive as we can be to continue to build this football team.
Rick, what was your impression of Ryan Mallett as a person, a player? How much did you feel for him when he got hurt, and what do you see his future?
Yeah, you know what, I was impressed. You know, to spend the time with him, you know, every day in the building and to watch him work, and I know all the questions that were there when he came out of the draft, and obviously we had some intimate knowledge with Bill having spent time with him in New England, but, you know, to watch the guy put the work in. And you could tell that the thing that I was impressed probably most about him is, you know, you see backup quarterbacks in this league all the time play behind great quarterbacks, and sometimes they pick up on, you know, how to play the position from the guy that they're watching. And in his case, it just was pretty apparent to me right off the bat. Yeah, not only did he, you know, understand the quarterback position, but it was apparent that he had picked up some, you know, several leadership traits that were impressive, you know, playing behind such a great player. And he was able to incorporate that in his stuff, in his style. And so he worked hard and obviously played pretty good that, you know, that game he had an opportunity to play. And somewhere along the line there, suffered that injury. So it was disappointing for him, but, you know, we're hopeful that we'll get him back as well and he'll have another opportunity to continue to, you know, to help us. Well, yeah, I can't tell you about week one right now. You know, we've got to get him under contract. He's a free agent, obviously, and that's something that, you know, we've got, you know, several guys, you know, this offseason that we are, you know, going to attempt to sign back as free agents, and he's one of them. And so, you know, hopefully we'll have him back in there competing again. Yeah, I mean, those situations and those decisions are complex. And in, you know, Mario's case, there are a lot of factors that were involved in that. I don't necessarily know that we need to go back and rehash all of those things. But, you know, the bottom line is he had an opportunity to go and got a great deal in Buffalo. And that was a contract and a deal that, you know, we weren't in a position to compete with. And so, you know, it was good for him. And, you know, our organization has moved on from that part of it. But just in general, when you talk about free agency and you talk about, you know, when players get to free agency, most of the time, if you look at the way we've managed our roster, our salary cap and our cash spending, we've tried to, you know, get to players before they get to that last year as a matter of philosophy and business practice. And so we've done that and been successful at doing that a lot. And sometimes guys get to free agency and you can re-sign them. In the case of a Chris Myers, for example, who made it to free agency, we were able to re-sign him. You know, a couple years ago, Garrett Graham got to free agency and we were able to re-sign him. And then there are other, you know, times, Connor Barron is a great example as a guy that we tried to re-sign early. We weren't able to do that. And then he made it to free agency and you know, in Philadelphia gave him a good deal. So, you know, those decisions, those negotiations, they're very, you know, intricate. And there's a lot of things that come into play. And so, you know, what we've got to do is continue, even though a guy makes it to free agency, for example, it doesn't mean that we don't want to re-sign him. It just means that we weren't able to get the extension done. And so, you know, like I mentioned, we've got Kareem Jackson, Derek Newton. They're guys on our roster this year that we definitely intend and want to bring back. And so it's just a function of how you, you know, come up to an agreement in terms of what the value is. Well, I mean, it's a fluid process. I mean, and so what you've got to do is as you prepare for this, you know, you've got to have a bunch of different scenarios that you're prepared to because it happens very fluidly. And so you can prepare as much as possible and, you know, have your ideas of what those values look like and what those contracts ought to look like and how it all fits in terms of putting the entire roster together. But then as it happens, as you move into free agency, as you start to, you know, sign some of the deals, then it all becomes a fluid process.
Where do things stand with Clowney? I mean,
what's his timetable now to get back on the field? I mean, could he be ready for training camp or week one? How do you guys do
that? Yeah, that training camp first, game of the season is within the normal context of what the time element for what we would expect from his recovery, and he's doing well. The recovery process, it's a long one, it's an arduous process, and so we talked to him about that and how he would have to be diligent throughout that process, and even in the first part of it, it's not a lot that he could do, and so he was able to manage through that, and now he's starting to pick that up, and so he's doing well, and we expect that he would hopefully make a full recovery and be ready to help us next year.
Question, looking back to this time last year, is there anything you wish you guys have examined further in, as far as his medical history? Was any of that related to the injury that has occurred? And do you think at this point he could be the same, reach his full potential?
Well, I'll answer the last one first. I do think that he can be a very impactful player and reach his potential. Yes, I do. And as it relates to the first question, no, that his injury was sustained during the season. And it was unfortunate that the combination of what happened, when he was injured. And in fact, actually, when we, when the doctors went in the first time, they recognized that what we ended up doing from a microfracture perspective was a possible eventuality. Just didn't do it initially, but knew that that might be something that would have to happen. He worked extremely hard to try to come back after we did the first procedure, and it just wasn't working for him, and so we decided to shut him down, do this procedure, because it gives us and gives him the best opportunity to recover. That's our expectation, and we're looking forward to it. He has. Yeah, he has, and I've been proud of him for that, yeah.
Rick, can you expand on Kareem Jackson, your desire to bring him back?
Yeah, you know what, I've got an affinity for Kareem Jackson. I just like him as a man, first of all, and I'm proud of him, very proud of the way that he's matured over the course of his career. If you remember, he was an early out junior, so he was a young guy when we drafted him. He learned how to be a pro, didn't know how to do that when he walked in the door, so it was some things that he had to go through and to learn as a not only as a player but as a man. And his evolution, and so I watched him grow as a person, as a player. I think one of the things that really helped him was when we added Jonathan Joseph. And the thing that I like about Kareem, very similarly to the way I described what Ryan Mallett did, but Kareem looked at how Jonathan prepared every day, and really he saw that as an example of how to be a pro, and implemented a lot of the things that J.J. does on a day-to-day basis. And I think that helped him become even a better pro. So he's a good guy, good in our locker room. Good leader, good football player. So he's one of those guys that we love to have around, and we want to continue to have him in our building. Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, you saw a tremendous size, skill, athletic ability, that whole ratio, you saw that. And then you just, the thing that just jumped out at you about the guy was just his effort and how good of a person that he was. And the one thing you knew about him is that you would get his all. Now, did you know he would evolve into the player that he's become so fast? I don't know if anybody could see that, but you saw a lot of the traits that give you the thought process to say, if somebody's going to do it, he's a guy that could do it.
When you look at particularly small defensive ends in college or smaller defensive ends, what do you look for to see if they'll translate to that type of offense?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tricky thing. I mean, and we debate that and talk about that in our draft room a lot. But I don't know that there's one thing that you can boil that down to. Sometimes if a guy has, he may be a shorter stature player, but he's got more length, he's got great burst off the ball, or he's got some change of direction. So you look for the attributes. You look for the overall athleticism to make sure that he can do the things that you're going to ask him to do. And then beyond that, if he's got traits that differentiate, his abilities over another guy, or if you look at some of the athletic traits to say what we're going to ask this guy to do, he just physically won't be able to do it, and he's just not a fit. So
is any part of it mental, or can he learn our system?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big part of it. That's a big part at any position, at any position.
Now that you've spent a year with Bill O'Brien, what have you observed or learned about him that makes you believe he was the right person?
Wow, I tell you what, I've been very impressed with Bill and watching him and working beside him and the things that we were looking for from the standpoint of we wanted a guy to come in and our football team needed to be situationally smart. They needed to be tougher. They needed to be a group that could adjust. And he's done a great job of managing the team. I think.
Wide receiver
Yeah, it's difficult to manage through those transitions, and I think what we were able to do organizationally was manage the transition effectively. And you know, obviously it's disappointing not to make the tournament, because that is the goal every year. But to have a winning season and to start the way that we were able to start gives us a chance, and it set a good foundation, and he did an excellent job with that.
In the same way that Ryan Mallett maybe picked up things from Tom Brady, is it possible that Bill O'Brien picked up things that you mentioned, like situational football awareness from the guy that he worked for?
Well, he's worked for and with a lot of good coaches, and I don't think he takes everything, you know, directly from, you know, from Coach Belichick, who's an outstanding coach, obviously, and I think he probably did, you know, learn a lot from him. But he's worked, you know, under some other really good coaches as well.
Rick, what do you think of quarterbacks that come out of a college system where they're always looking over to the sidelines for a play?
Well, I don't know that they can't play in our league. It becomes more of a projection when you are trying to determine if a guy can go in the huddle, call a play, go to the line of scrimmage, make an adjustment, take a snap, read a coverage, deliver the ball. So it becomes more of a projection if you don't see those players in pro-style offenses in college. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not capable of doing that if they haven't done it before.
How do you kind of make that determination between, I think this guy can, I think this guy can't?
Well, it's an evaluation on tape. It's what are they asking him to do and how that projects. It's when you meet with him. It's his aptitude. It's his intelligence. It's his football knowledge. It's all those things that you are learning about all these players right now.
With the injuries that have cropped up the last couple of years and the emergence of Alfred Blue and Spots last season, is there any reason to consider scaling back Arian Foster's workload in the name of durability moving forward?
Well, you know, that's not my area of expertise. Those are the coaches' decisions, and they use Arian effectively. Arian's a heck of a football player, and he can do a lot of things. And so, you know, when he's available, he's out there and he's making plays for us, and that's what I asked him to do.
You got to ask just now about quarterbacks that get plays between sidelines and things like that. For a guy like Marcus, the questions are, can he make pro-style reads because he wasn't asked to do as much of that? How difficult is it to evaluate that at a place like the Combine or Pro Days or anything like that going forward?
No, you don't have a full defense, but you know, there are ways that you can do that. You can put him in situations, whether it is, you know, whether you're watching tape with him, you're talking to him, you can try to assess that. Now, the thing about it, the reason why it becomes a difficult projection is because, you know, you can talk about it, you can drill it, you can watch tape, you can put him on the board, but until he has to do it with live ammo coming at him, you know, it becomes a different thing. So that's why it's a projection. It's not an easy thing to do. But what you can determine is whether or not he has the aptitude to do it, you know. And so those are the kind of questions that are you know, going to have to be answered, you know, from all of those quarterbacks.
When you guys want to take the next step between 14-9 and 7, how critical is the quarterback situation, getting that resolved, finding a starter? And is that holding you back part of your guys' decision?
Well, I don't know that it's holding us back. I do know this is a quarterback league, and until you have that position solved, you know, long term, I think what you have to do is you have to continue to build the balance of your roster, and that's what we're trying to do. And so, I think Bill did a great job with the quarterbacks. I think we played 3 or 4 quarterbacks this year, and I don't know if that's ever happened before. And to win 9 games and do that is a testament to, you know, to his abilities, George Gotti's abilities, and our offensive team, and how those players made plays, you know, in those situations. And so, you know, we've got to do that. Obviously, that's the most important position, you know, in football, in my opinion. And so, but you have to continue to get better, you know, as you move along. You know what, Ryan, I think when he came back, another situation where it's just disappointing that the guy had an injury, because what was apparent to me when he came back after he had set was that he had a better command of the offense. And so I was impressed with the way that he was playing, and unfortunately he got the injury. His is another injury that's a fairly predictable recovery. And so, again, that whole competitive element to that position is what we're going to create again and try to get the best guy out there leading our team.
Hey, guys, a couple more questions.
You know, I always stay pretty clear there. But there's some good, you know, if you look across this draft, I think that there's several wideouts. There's some defensive linemen. Running backs are good, you know, there's a good group of running backs, good-looking group. I think those guys weighed in, and it's a good-looking group. So, you know, I don't like comparing draft classes across other draft classes or, you know, just the depth. But there's some good players in those positions.
Last one, guys. Is the drop-off as big as people say, or do you guys think that there are quarterbacks who pop up in the second or third round you might take?
Well, I mean, we're going to look at them all, and we have to look at them all. Our look obviously has to be exhaustive, and we do that, and we'll continue to do that.
Thanks, guys.
guys speaking, generally speaking, is there a downside at all to team using the franchise tag from a team's perspective?
Is there a downside to it? No, I think the franchise tag is something that is a tool for teams to use when they are, you're trying to negotiate and keep good players. And so, the downside would be that there's a negative, in some respects, for some players, there's a negative reaction to it. That's not the case with all players. But it's a way for teams to continue to try to keep their good players.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks.